Melanie Onn is a Labour MP in the UK, and she's calling for wolf whistling to be classified as an act of misogyny and punishable as a hate crime. What do you think about this? Well, joining us to give us her opinions on the issue is Dr. Joanna Williams. Joanna, is this over the top, or is it a reasonable reaction to something that's pretty unpleasant when it happens to women?
Well, I think it's over the top, but also I wouldn't go so far as to say it's something pretty unpleasant. Wolf whistling's on its way out. I mean, you see a few relics continue to wolf whistle women in the street, but it's few and far between. Most building companies nowadays have regulations outlawing wolf whistling members of staff. People are actually not allowed to do this. They get into trouble if they do. So it's not.
Does it not happen anymore? I remember working on a building site in London in the summer of 1990, and I could not believe the amount of wolf whistling that went on with guys I worked with. Literally, any time a woman walked by, it would happen. Are those days over?
I'm not saying it never happens, but I think it's overstated. I definitely think it's overstated. And I think when it does happen, actually, you know what? Women can cope with it. Sometimes, dare you say it, it even puts a smile on your face and a spring in your step.
Are you allowed to say things like that anymore?
Well, do you know what I do? I think it can make you smile, and that's one way to deal with it. Certainly, you don't need to run away and quiver and faint in the corner. Women are a lot tougher than Melanie Onn makes out. A wolf whistle is not the worst thing that can ever happen to you. And the idea that police time and attention should be spent rounding up random wolf whistlers, to me, is the biggest insult in all of this.
Does it happen anywhere? Do we know other places where people, it actually is a crime?
Yeah, in Nottingham, about this time last year in the UK, in Nottingham, they started to record incidents of wolf whistling as a misogynistic hate crime. Another instance of street name calling and street harassment. So it's being trialled there, but we don't know the results yet of what's happened. But I think it would make the city a worse place to live. Like I said, I think it's very illiberal. It's rounding people up and getting people into trouble with the police for something which is essentially harmless. It's sending out the message to women that...
Is it harmless, though? Is it fair to describe it as harmless? I mean, I presume it can, you know, it can be intimidating at certain times. It can be, it can make women feel uncomfortable if they're walking down the street and you get 10 lads hanging over a building wolf whistling. That I'm sure that can be uncomfortable.
I'm sure that can be. But like I said, I think it's really important that we don't overstate it, because the danger of overstating it is that we actually scare young women. We tell young women nowadays that the world is a terrible and scary place. And we actually make them fearful of leaving the house and walking down the street out of all proportion to the reality. So we do see lots of surveys coming out that say, and I think the statistics Melanie Onn was using, suggest that 85% of women experience street harassment. Or one statistic I've seen suggests that even 90% of women experience sexual harassment in one form or another, which sounds truly alarming. And I have an 11-year-old daughter, and if I thought those statistics were true, I would not want her to be leaving the house. But you break it down and you look where surveys have been conducted, actually asking young women, how are they defining sexual harassment? And a large proportion of 18 to 24-year-old women are defining sexual harassment as winking and whistling. And I think when we come to define sexual harassment so broadly as to encompass winking and whistling, it becomes totally meaningless as a concept. And the big surprise is actually why not 100% of women have experienced winking or whistling? Because to me, that's part of everyday interactions. When you walk down the street, you can smile, you can cross the road, you can turn around and tell someone to get lost and leave you alone.
Yeah.
But the fact is, women's lives are not ruined by
these
actions.
Last question, though. And look, I don't think anyone would disagree with you about the point about that. Yeah, I think the police probably have better things to do. But is there an argument for bringing in the law just to say to people, to put down a marker and say, you know what, this isn't okay. And that while, you know, you're not going to see people being let off in handcuffs or anything like that, that it would just actually issue a statement that says, you know what, it's not okay. Society says it's not all right to do it.
I think that's the argument that's being used, that this, you could never actually have a policeman. You'd need a policeman on every street corner and following every individual around to completely outlaw this. But the idea that it sends a message or will bring about a shift in the culture. But to me, that's not a shift in the culture that I would like to see, because I don't think it's healthy to have every interaction between men and women monitored, even if that's a monitoring that takes place in our own minds. I think spontaneity, friendliness, relationships, every interaction is unwanted unless you make a move, unless somebody starts a conversation, initiates an interaction. You never know if something is unwanted or not.
Okay.
I think it's very illiberal and portrays women as victims and pathetic.
All right, we leave it there. Dr. Joanna Williams, thanks indeed for joining us.